You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Feel what you need when what you really want inside can only people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself.
Yeah.
Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna be?
Tell me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity. Because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotel family, hope everything was well with you today. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping to the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it was not, and it had to get done, it must get done, it will get done because you'll do it. That's the kind of brother and sister that you is. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archive at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. This program, once again, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times are going to give our Eastern times. Monday and Wednesday, our story. Mondays and Wednesdays, our story from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Baba Wes Johnson out of New Orleans. Baba Wes Johnson out of New Orleans, our story. On Thursday, the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move, with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club from 8 to 10. From 8 to 10 on Thursday. Friday, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. on Friday. Time for an Awakening. On Sunday, from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Sunday, Pinckney to Pinckney, activist Reverend Edward Pinckney out of Benton Harbor, Michigan. That's Pinckney to Pinckney, Sunday at 5 to 6. And also on Sunday, of course, it's at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We have a guest today, Brother Bashir Nchawi, who has been with us many times. And we're going to be talking about Kwanzaa. But I'm going to read the Inyasasim, as we always do every morning, of Daily Revolutionary Thought. And then I'll get to our guest. So no announcements today, or really no announcements for the week, because I want to get in all that we can. But you know, I make those announcements to encourage our people to support our people. Because if we don't support one another, who will? You know. So I'm saying we have to support one another. All right, family. December 22nd. December 22nd, the borrowing of bits, pieces, and even blocks of alien ways to complement or supplement our way is permissible within Afrocentricity as long as what is borrowed is not incongruent with Afrocentricity. The wholesale adoption of an alien way, any alien way, is precluded. The preclusion applies to both its inferior and superior aspects. In other words, centering or founding oneself in an alien orientation can never set foot the new African. Such flawed centering may produce a being that appears different from what it was before, but it will not be the new African, the psychologically liberated African. Baba Zido. Most warriors do not understand the enormity of Negro fears and the hatred that they hold in their mental societal hearts toward us for not helping them make Europeans love us. The Negro's hatred of us is not the same as Yorugu's. It's far worse. There are those of us who can only see their blackness as a means to whiteness. They truly believe that the salvation and ascendancy of their insanity lies in successfully destroying anything which lies at the spiritual, cultural, psychological heart of being African and all those who resemble them, so that the only remaining obstacle to their grand descent is into whiteness, is the erasion of their pigmentation. So know that in this pale reality, there will always be some who will look for reasons to be angry with you because their mental side already compels them to hate you. Most often, they hate you because they hate that they are not you. They seethe in what they reveal about them and their lesser through simply your very existence. They know that they will never naturally be that good. Others' hatred of you should not change you, though. It should merely make you more observant. Affirm, I do not adopt that which is antagonistic to the African minds. Affirm, I do not adopt that which is antagonistic to the African mind. December 23rd. The experimental exploitations of American Africans is not the issue of the last decade or even the past few decades. Dangerous, involuntary, and non-therapeutic experiments upon Africans have been practiced widely and documented extensively, at least since the 18th century, the 1700s. Harriet Washington. The diabolical, bloodthirsty, immoral, God-fearing, sadistic spirit of Victor Frankenstein feeds the mentality and the acts of countless pale and colored medical professionals in the hospitals and clinics where our people are driven by desperation, fear, and ignorance to go to in order to even momentarily alleviate their pain. Every experience you can imagine, and more than you dare, because they fall far outside the realm of human sanity and have been and continue to be done to Africans of all ages, dead and living, in all places. What they have done to us in the public and private laboratories and wards in the name of the genocidal science without the semblance of conscience is unfathomable to the sane minds. We have been their human guinea pigs, seen as aspects, another species which resembles their Cro-Magnon gene, on which they can test their theories of disease and death. The evil that is Yorugu did not stop outside the doors of medical facilities any more than their insanities stay in Europe as they invaded the world. Affirm, I have no trust for Yorugu's medical community. Affirm, I have no trust for Yorugu's medical community. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sisim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to welcome my good brother Bashir Chawi to the program. Abaragani, my brother.
Jema Sante Abaragani. What's happening, brother? How are you?
I'm well. What about you, man? How you been?
Brother, we're hanging in here. I got to tell you, this morning it was 14 degrees in New York City, man. 14 degrees.
Man. Oh, man. Well, hey. Well, it was okay. But, hey, it was below freezing. It was 31 degrees here in Atlanta, okay?
I hear you.
And so,
but I mean, you know, 14 degrees offends our Africanness, man.
That's for sure. That's for sure. That is a serious offense. And all you can get all the mud cloth you want, you still won't be warm.
No, brother. Yeah, interesting. Yeah. It's been warm, you know, generally speaking, you know, it's been warm, but the last couple of days it's been, you know, really cold.
Yeah.
Well, but we deal with what we have to deal with.
We do, and you got to deal with it, because the reality is that, you know, that's the deal with climate change. It's weather extremes, and more often, and that's what the people didn't understand way back in the 80s when they started stating that, you know, there's going to be some issues and some problems with the climate because of the fossil fuels that are being burned and acid rain and all these other kinds of things. And people didn't want to hear that, especially the oil company didn't want to hear that, you know. And it's because that was like when Jimmy Carter was president, he had, right before he left, he had put solar panels on top of the White House. And the first thing Ronald Reagan did was take the solar panels off. And then, of course, cut deals with the oil companies, and the oil companies bought out wind and solar for decades. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, when we look at this, the oil company strategy is just like the tobacco company strategy of years ago.
Yep, diversify.
They know the information. They have the information. They understand that what they do damages the environment in so many different kinds of ways, but they go ahead and they get four scientists to go ahead and affirm things that very clearly are not true.
Yeah.
You know, they did that with tobacco, saying, oh, no, tobacco is not really bad for you. In the meantime, they have all the research that shows that smoking tobacco will literally kill you.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with the oil companies, brother.
Yeah.
And now we got this fool coming into the White House who's talking about his energy strategy is to drill, drill, drill.
Right. Right. Well, that was his thing anyways when he came in. They, if you remember, there was a pipeline coming out of Canada, and they wanted to go through a big city. I think it was in South Dakota. But the city said, no, don't. You're not going to bring a pipeline through here because of the possibilities of what could happen. So they said, okay, well, fine. Then we'll take it through the indigenous people's land. We ain't gonna ask them nothing. We just gonna do it. And they started bringing that pipeline, preparing to bring that pipeline through their land. And then they had an uproar, and they, you know, they were out there demonstrating and so forth, man. And the Caucasians start putting water cannon. It's wintertime, too. It was around this time of year. You know, they start pouring water cannon on them and stuff like that, man. Oh, yeah. It was, man, not good at all. And, of course, Donald Trump, he wanted it because he was an investor. He was an investor of that pipeline. You know, that's why he's talking about, you know, more oil. Man.
Yeah, well, brother, it's crazy. You know, it's just amazing how ignorant, you know, some of these people are. But I think their ignorance is, you know, our best weapon against them. Let's say. Because, you know, as ignorant and foolish as they are, you know, they're going to be infighting and doing all different kinds of things. It'll provide us with some opportunities to go ahead and definitely make some progress.
I hope so, brother. I really do. I look forward to that progress being made. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, brother, I have to say, it's good to be with you again. I don't know how many years we've been actually going ahead doing this.
Man, we've been doing this, I would say, at least 6-7 years, man.
Yeah.
At least.
I think I may have missed 1 year when I was in Ethiopia. I had the opportunity to celebrate Kwanzaa in Ethiopia a few years ago.
And what was that experience? What was that experience like?
You know? Well, first of all, the trip itself to Ethiopia was just, you know, mind-boggling. You know, we had the opportunity to go to the rock-hewn churches. We actually were able to celebrate Orthodox Christmas in Ethiopia.
Okay.
And be with the Ethiopian people and understand some of the traditions Because while many people talk about, you know, Israel as being the Holy Land, Israel is not the Holy Land.
Right.
Ethiopia is the Holy Land. If you go to Ethiopia, you see people who are at the base of the Solomonic, all the traditions. And they are all so close in regards to whether we talk about Orthodox Christianity, Islam, or Hebrewism, which, you know, obviously it's so interesting because the Ethiopians have been unapologetically Hebrew,
right.
Some of them, since the days of Solomon.
Yeah.
All right, where we have these folks who are now in Palestine, who converted to Judaism.
Exactly.
You know, after 1492. So it's really, really, really quite interesting. But the experience in terms of the trip was wonderful.
Right on.
We had an opportunity to actually celebrate Kwanzaa in Addis. I think we were in Addis at the time. We did so. Yeah. And it was wonderful. I think it's important for people to understand that while people will say that Kwanzaa is a, quote, African-American holiday, it is an African holiday.
Ashe. Yes.
One of the things, I have a brother, good friend, who's currently in Ghana. They'll be having an all-day Kwanzaa celebration in Accra.
All right.
From like 10 a.m. in the morning to like 10 a.m. at night.
Man.
So it's moving ahead, and we have to understand that this particular holiday, based on African principles, is in fact a holiday, an observance, a celebration that is now embraced in many parts of the African world.
I say.
Not just in North America, but throughout the Caribbean, South America, parts of Europe, and the African continent itself.
I say. And especially, you know, in the Caribbean and in like Brazil. There are more Africans in Brazil than any country except Nigeria. And I would hope that in Salvador particularly, but, you know, all throughout the country of Brazil, and all throughout Colombia and so forth, where a lot of Africans are. Not too many in Venezuela, because you know what they did in Venezuela, them son of a bitches. You know, they murdered us and tried to white us out, man. You know.
Well, listen, you know, along those lines, I had a brother, my guest on my radio program on WBAI in New York, a brother, Pablo Blanco. He's from the Garifuna community. And we have indigenous African communities in Honduras, Belize, Nicaragua, Guatemala. They have a unique African culture. They have their own language. They have their own music, their own forms of dance. And as a matter of fact, the United Nations has actually recognized them as a unique culture. And I've had the opportunity to be in Belize and Honduras and have seen and experienced the Garifuna community there. But the Garifuna community is also in a diaspora. So we have folks from the Garifuna community in places like New York, Atlanta, Boston, or, you know, all over North America. But once again, as we talk about the, I guess we have to say, the far embrace of Africa, of Africanism, of African people, it is literally all over the world. So when we speak about the diaspora, I mean, we're talking about African people everywhere, because there are literally everywhere you go, you're going to find some African people some kind of way. The interesting thing is the Garifuna say that even before the Maafa and the slave trade, that there were already Africans in the Caribbean and in Central and South America. So when they actually went ahead and got to South America, that there were already some Africans who were there. I mean, really, really quite interesting in terms of the history. And we have to look back at people like Baba Ivan Van Sertima.
Yeah.
They came before Columbus.
Yes.
Who actually went ahead and did the work in regards to understanding where those gigantic Olmec heads in Mexico, especially, came from.
Yes, where they came from. Also, too, giving some love to our other ancestor, Baba Rinoco Rashidi, and his documenting, you know, physically documenting the African presence globally. You know, he took tons of pictures. You know, he wanted to show you those brothers and sisters all throughout the diaspora. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You know.
For sure.
And to
Brother, we're here.
Yeah. And to me, that's why the Kwanzaa celebration is so important, because that the idea of it is applicable to all of us, whether you're on the continent, in the diaspora, unity, self-determination, you know, collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics, purpose, creativity, and our faith is applicable to all of us. And if we embrace those, which of course is the general idea, you know, Kwanzaa is to be celebrated every day. You know, it's not just December 26th to January 1st. It is to be celebrated every day in some form or fashion in the things that you do in your life. You know, do you, you know, promote unity and self-determination? You know, do you help brothers and sisters? Do you spend money with brothers and sisters? You know, do you use your creativity to assist brothers and sisters? You know, do you understand your purpose? And do you have faith in that? Not that you have a particular religion, but you have faith in that and faith in each other, you know. So it's important, man. That's how I've always looked at it. That's why I've always promoted it, you know. And what's interesting, I don't know, Baba, I know you, y'all been celebrating Kwanzaa, in, you know, in New York for a long time, and I know you were one of the first people to begin to push and promote Kwanzaa when Malala Karenga started it, you know, and what is it, 66, right?
Yes, sir. Started in 66. Really took off in New York in about 1970, 1971, as a result of the East Organization.
The East, that's right.
I was a,
Baba G2.
Which I was a part. Indeed.
Yeah, Baba G2 Wahusi.
Yep.
Yeah.
Brother, we went ahead and embraced Kwanzaa. Mm-hmm. We did so in a number of different ways. First, our relationship with the Congress of African People and the Community for Unified Newark under the leadership of Baba Imam Omiri Baraka. We went ahead and embraced it, and we ran with it. Went ahead, took it to the community, began to go ahead and really flesh out what Kwanzaa was. I mean, in those early days, you know, there was no Kwanzaa manual, let us say.
So we had
to go ahead and, you know, essentially make up. We were blessed at that particular time to have a brother, Baba Yusuf Imam, who went ahead and was able to create songs and various things that we could teach our children.
Mm-hmm.
So now, I mean, I have to say, in my family, you know, it's the parents, myself, of course, then my children, my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren. You know, they are all, at this particular point, aware of Kwanzaa, participate in Kwanzaa celebrations, no matter where they are at this particular point in the nation, in the country.
Or in the world, you know.
Yeah, in the world.
Yeah.
Most of my folks are currently in North America.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we do, you know, the Mshawi people do get around.
And that's the beauty of, that's the beauty of it. And I know that when Malala started it, and I know that he ran into some problems. And so as a consequence, other brothers and sisters like yourself, way back then, the people of the East, and also too on the West Coast. And I'm going to talk, get Mama Nabantu in here. Mama Nabantu is now in Atlanta, but she was, you know, in Northern California with Mama Kena. Mama Nabantu, good morning.
Good morning, and good morning to the brother. I didn't know all that information. That's good to know. We were in California, and I don't know if you knew of Sister McKenna at that time. She was president of one of the community colleges there and had some funding. And my understanding is that Brother Karenga reached out to her and asked her, would she, you know, take that information across the country, because he wasn't able to do it at the time. And I remember her telling me he gave her one sheet with all the seven principles on it and the meanings of those principles. And she went across the country, and she also went to the continent with that information. And she also created a manual on Kwanzaa. I think it was in 1967 or 68. And I still have a copy of it. And that's when we were using those old copy machines. We had to collate it by ourselves on three or four tables. And, you know, it's all history now. But, you know, that was my information about the Sister McKenna, who was able to pass it to throughout the country as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, when we look back at the practice, we have to say that some of the first mass-produced Kwanzaa books were done by Haki and Safisha Matabudi,
mm-hmm.
out of the Institute of Positive Education in Chicago.
In Chicago.
Out of Newark, as I said, with the Congress of African People and the Committee for Unified Newark. In New York, we had two folks, Brother John Watusi Branch and Mama Kuumba. Mama Kuumba probably did one of the first children's Kwanzaa books. And yeah, I mean, it's been something that, well, I mean, at that particular point was really important for the community in regards to them embracing Kwanzaa and understanding. And one of the things I think that we have to do is that we have to unearth some of these hidden Kwanzaa warriors who do not necessarily go ahead and get the honor and respect that they should get, because they were the ones who went ahead and literally did the heavy lifting in regards to going ahead and making Kwanzaa what it has become.
That's so true, and Sister McKenna is one of those. And unfortunately, I met with Dr. Karenga Brown, I think it was 2007, and I asked him about Sister McKenna, and he said he didn't remember. So I don't know why he said that, or I'm sure it wasn't dementia, but I mean,
it could be dementia.
I don't know. But anyway, all the work that she did, and he asked, he even gave her, I don't know how many yards of material to make outfits for people to wear. So I don't know why he couldn't remember that. But yeah, you're right. There are some hidden heroes that a lot of people don't know that made this strong and it happened. And and we were all on the same wavelength in a sense, you know, even though we were on different parts of the country, we knew how important it was to get this information to our people. It was about our culture. It was a way to bring our people who didn't know anything about our culture into our culture, you know. So then we had to deal with, well, I don't want to celebrate Kwanzaa because I don't like what Dr. Karenga did or whatever. And I always say, you know, it's not the messenger sometimes, it's the message. If you're okay with the message, don't worry about the messenger.
Yeah. Yes. Indeed, as I say sometimes, it's not the creator, it's the creation.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Very, very clearly. Obviously, I mean, there's some things in terms of, you know, practices that Dr. Karenga came about, for instance, when he inverted the colors of the red, black, and green flag.
Yeah,
the flag
sure
that
did.
The UNIA went ahead and reversed the
flag. Right.
Some of us had a serious issue with that.
Yes, I know I did. And in fact, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and Brother Claiborne Benson, we'll mention him a little later as we talk about Kwanzaa's and other places, at the Wisconsin Black Historical Society, he unveiled the stamp, if you can remember. The United States Postal had the stamp. And on that stamp was that flag. And I'm, you know, a number of people that I know, you know, we took a, you know, just an offense to it, because that's not the red, black, and green given to us by Marcus Garvey. That flag, its colors were, you know, not in that order.
Yeah.
Well,
I remember, I mean, at the time, I'm trying to remember, a number of us from around the country actually went ahead and wrote an article, you know, not only, you know, denouncing the revisionism in regards to the flag, but also looking in terms of, you're going to the United States Postal Service, the same institution that was responsible for the demise of the Honorable Marcus
Garvey. I say, you know,
I mean, you think about it in terms of the irony of that. Not only are you going ahead and essentially revising some kind of revisionism in terms of the flag, but then, of course, the person responsible for that flag, most responsible for that flag, was ultimately, you know, run out of the country by the United States Postal Service and the federal government.
Yep. So, you know, that's, to me, that's why, even though we know all of these things have happened, but the forward, as we move forward with Kwanzaa, and just as you said, Baba Bashir, that it's, you've observed Kwanzaa in very different ways in other places outside of the U.S., you know, and that's what needs to happen. I would love to see some real coordinated effort, because, you know, the Pan-African Federalist Movement is an organization that Mama Nabantu is involved in, and I am too, a member of the Pan-African Federalist Movement, that we want to one Africa, you know. And to me, the Kwanzaa principles and all the things that they entail is African. It is not American African, it's African. You know, the first fruits of the harvest is African. And so I would love for us to celebrate Kwanzaa, you know, during that time, but more importantly, I would love for us to instill the principles into our everyday lives. Yeah.
Ashe. Well, brother, you know, I think that, you know, as we enter, you know, this new political period, you know, it's critically important that we as a people begin to really embrace the first principle, umoja, unity, because we need some kind of unity in regards to really shoring ourselves up to meet any challenges that will take place over the next few years. And one of the issues, I believe, in regards to this question of unity is the issue of identity. We have to determine who we are in regards to going ahead and saying we're going to unite. The first issue in regards to the question of unity is identity. So, you know, this whole thing in terms of, well, I'm African American and I'm Jamaican, and I'm Haitian, and I'm Garifuna, whatever. The first thing is, we all have to understand that we are African people. All right?
Right.
And we have to go ahead and say that all the time. Not that we are African American, unless you really think you are African American, okay? Which means that you embrace the badness which America actually represents. So we have to say we're African people. You know, I'm an African who happens to live in America.
Right.
You know, I unfortunately carry a United States passport because I haven't gotten citizenship in Ghana or anywhere else yet.
That's right. I say, that's right.
The fact of the matter is, you know, and as we travel through the world, I mean, it's very interesting. You know, as African people, we are very clearly Pan-African. Because as I travel through the world, when I'm in Ethiopia, people come up to me and speak to me in Amharic because they think I'm Ethiopian. And when I'm somewhere in the Caribbean, you know, somebody will go ahead and come up to me and speak to me in some kind of patois because they think that I'm
Caribbean.
From wherever I am at the time.
Right.
And when I'm in Cuba, people stop me in the streets of Havana and say they know me. They remember me from somewhere or whatever, right?
Right.
Because we are literally Pan-African people. Mm-hmm. And the idea that we are from one place and we are somehow trapped in that particular identity is false.
Yeah. Well, we mentioned about some things that Kwanzaa, for our children. I want to play a couple of things that I'm quite sure we'll all enjoy. For youth, one was a Sesame Street piece with Michael B. Jordan. He's lighting the candles and all of them are talking about Kwanzaa, and especially for little kids. Let me just play this right quick.
Oh, and I put the Unity Cup right over there.
And the Kanara goes right here in the middle.
Cool. Hello, Michael B. Jordan. What are you, Tamir, Gabrielle, and Elmo doing?
Habari Gani, Grover. That's how we greet people on Kwanzaa. That means what's going on.
Because tonight is the first night of Kwanzaa.
Oh, Kwanzaa.
Oh, Grover knows about Kwanzaa.
Of course I know about... Actually, I do not. What is it?
Kwanzaa is our holiday.
It's a time when we celebrate African-American history and culture with our family and friends.
And what are all the fruits and vegetables for?
Oh, the fruits and vegetables are to celebrate the harvest.
Mm-hmm. Kwanzaa lasts for 7 days, and each day has a principle.
And since tonight's the first night of Kwanzaa, it's Umoja. It means unity.
Unity means coming together with friends, family, and neighbors.
Say, Grover, do you want to help us out?
Well, I am all about unity. What can I do?
I think we could use some corn for the Kwanzaa table.
Say no more. I will be right back. Okay, here are your horns.
Whoa, okay. Thank you, Grover, but we actually need corn. Mm-hmm. You know, like the vegetable.
Corn! Oh, yes, of course. I was kind of wondering what you're going to do with all these. I will be right back. Okay, there you go. Oh, this is enough. Got the extra large family size.
Okay, that's a lot of clearing. You know what? Maybe we need some more friends to join us.
I think you're right. I mean, I have two friends that could help. My nephews, Lennox and Zabi. Lennox, Zabi, come on in.
Zabi.
Come on, Zabi. Yeah. Say hi to everybody. H is for holiday, and H is also for happy holidays and joyous Kwanzaa to everyone.
Happy holidays!
Happy holidays!
And joyous Kwanzaa.
All right, we're going to play the next one, brothers and sisters. And the next one is, I really like this one. This is the 7 days of Kwanzaa.
Yes, it sounds like, call it Ronza. Sounds a lot like Ronza. It does sound like
Ronza. I love Ronza, man. Ronza's the shit. God, Ronza's
the shit. Yeah, it's the
shit. On the first day of Kwanzaa, my father gave to me a statue of Marcus Garvey. On the second day of Kwanzaa, my father gave to me two turtlenecks and the statue of Marcus Garvey. On the third day of Kwanzaa, my father gave to me a Swahili dictionary. On the fourth day of Kwanzaa, my father gave to me four body oils, three dictionaries, two turtlenecks, and a statue of Marcus Garvey. On the fifth day of Kwanzaa, my father gave to me five dashikis, four body oils, three dictionaries, two turtlenecks, and a statue of Marcus Garvey. On the sixth day of Kwanzaa, my father gave to me six,
excuse me, brother.
Five dashikis, four body oils, three dictionaries, turtlenecks and a statue of Marcus Garvey. On the seventh day of Kwanzaa, my father gave to me 7 final calls. 6, excuse me, brothers.
Excuse me, brother.
Excuse me, brother.
5 dashikis. 4 body oils. 3 dictionaries. 2 turtlenecks. And a statue of Marcus Garvey.
I say. Yeah. Did y'all like that? Oh, I'm kind of. Bring you back in. I'm sorry.
I have to unmute.
I got to unmute. Yes.
Yes. Unmuted.
Yeah.
Well, I need to put mother in there too.
Oh.
My mother
and father. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
We leave out the sisters. That's the only comment.
I hear.
I like the idea that
Oh yeah, for children. Help them identify and help them associate and help them get involved with Kwanzaa. You know, we need that. Because if anybody's going to carry on this Kwanzaa tradition, it's them. And the reality is, Kwanzaa is almost 60 years old. It's almost 60 years old. And what we're doing and supposed to be doing with Kwanzaa, and of course, I don't rely on this society to do anything to promote Kwanzaa. I mean, I was naive enough to believe that, with Brock in the White House, maybe they may have Kwanzaa in the White House. How huge would that have been, huh? To have a Kwanzaa celebrate, at least for one day, to recognize. But no, that ain't happening. So I don't care. You know, I give less than a rat's ass what Caucasians do as far as Kwanzaa is concerned. They don't announce it, on television. You know, they announce Hanukkah, Christmas, New Year's, and everything, any other celebration. They don't. And I don't care. Because that is our response. Kwanzaa is ours. Now, there were some issues, particularly in Milwaukee one time when my brother Claiborne invited a number of Caucasians to our celebration. And, I mean, to me, the community celebration, anybody can go to. You know, it's not restricted. But it is ours, and it is ours, and how we celebrate, and what we do, and what we say, it is ours, you know. So, you know, that's why I'm always in favor of celebrating Kwanzaa, because it is a chance for us to express ourselves in the way that we want to, in the way we feel is necessary.
Well, let me say, there was an attempt some years ago to really corporatize Kwanzaa.
Right. Yes, it was.
That there were numbers of corporations went ahead and got behind Kwanzaa in a number of different kinds of ways. I remember years ago, back in the 1970s, when there was an article in the Wall Street Journal about Kwanzaa. And when that happened, I knew that that was the signal to the corporations to go ahead and see what they could go ahead and do. I have in my possession a Kwanzaa mug, Mobile Oil Company. Okay? So what happened is there was an attempt from, I guess, the late 1970s into the 1980s to really corporatize Kwanzaa.
Right. There were advertisements in magazines. I remember Eastern Airlines. There's no more Eastern Airlines. You know, they had a piece on Kwanzaa. And, So, yes, they try to corporatize.
And they used to have, remember those large tin popcorn containers? You guys remember that? You could buy those. It had Kwanzaa on it and, you know, the candles and everything. They don't make them anymore. That's what they had. I had one, and it got rained on, so it's no longer. But I remember when it had those big popcorn things with Kwanzaa on it.
Well, you know, there have been these attempts. I don't know whether the fact that, you know, the corporations are not interested now
or as interested now is a result of our people resisting, you know, the corporate encroachment, or whether it's just now a matter of, you know, this right-wing political move where they're moving away from DEI and CRT and everything else.
That's right.
You know, that they can go ahead and move away from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
So that's a good point. Yeah, it's interesting to see, you know, which is the move on the part of these corporations, because, you know, at any time, it's a possibility in a capitalist society for people to make money out of something.
Sure.
They will definitely go ahead and try to make money out of it.
Oh, no doubt. That's why they had Kwanzaa advertised at JCPenney's. You could get Kwanzaa kits there at various other stores. You can get Kwanzaa kits because, you know, they.
Well, look what they did with Juneteenth. Now that it became a holiday, it's definitely gone to the corporate level. You get Juneteenth everything now. But they did make some Kwanzaa cards, and I think you can still get some of those cards.
Yeah,
and you can
Walmart.
Also, you know, the teachers who teach in the schools, they go online and get all kinds of little whatnot on Kwanzaa. So it is online on Amazon where you can get little stuff, tablecloths, napkins, flags, all kinds of little stuff. But the big things that they had in the beginning, I don't see that anymore. I agree with you, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. So I suppose, I guess we just have to, you know, do some analysis in regards to, you know, what has happened in terms of, you know, these major corporations, you know, moving away from Kwanzaa. But of course, as they move away, you know, it's time for us to move forward in regards to going ahead and making sure that Kwanzaa continues to be celebrated on all levels, institutions. You know, publicly in regards to institutions, in the community, and, of course, also in our homes.
Yeah.
We make our own Kwanzaa supplies and things like that. Brother Atora here in Atlanta requested to be on our Atlanta Regional Kwanzaa Association website to be able to sell Kwanzaa supplies. Because a lot of people have been asking, where can I get a Kanara, or where can I get my candles? Because it's not easy to get the red, black, and green candles, but we need to have that promoted among our community.
Right. Well, you know, Afrocentrics over on Lee Street, of course, in the West End, they've always had a huge supply of Kwanzaa paraphernalia and so forth, and that they continue to do so. But the deal is this: as we approach the 60 years of Kwanzaa's existence and its creation, I think we need to have a webinar or something to the effect of, we need to come together and really push and promote this idea, because it's about culture. Our problem is, our problem, of course, is that we are deeply affected by a dominant culture adversely. But look at our situation. Look at the murder rates. Look at the incarceration rates. Look at all the other things. And I know there are some brothers and sisters who are doing well in this system, you know, and some are doing quite well. But the vast majority of our people, this is alien to us. This is not good for us as a people. It may be good for a few individuals, but for us collectively, it is not good. You know, because what this society and what Urugu or white folks want to do is eliminate us. Let's be real. And one thing that could bring us together to defend ourselves, to promote ourselves, to begin to love and respect ourselves, to have men and women marry and have children and family, is a part of that could be Kwanzaa, no doubt about it, because it speaks to that.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the things that, you know, really comes to mind now is this question, and you kind of raise it, is that there are class contradictions within our community.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't talk about those particular contradictions very often. And it's those contradictions which in many ways keep us apart that those class contradictions are not just based on income or money or assets, that there are other elements that go ahead and deal with those particular class contradictions. But I think that the last election was a clear indication of mm-hmm. that.
No doubt.
Where you had all of these celebrities and all of these high-powered people going ahead and getting behind Kamala Harris, but the masses of people were not feeling that. They were not talking to just regular folks in the street. And this is something that we have to really go ahead and address, because what we have to do is, like we did back in the 60s and the 70s, we have to create real grassroots movements that communicate with our people wherever they happen to be.
Right on.
Okay? One of our problems right now is, sometimes we talk only amongst ourselves. You know, those of us who are somewhat conscious talk to other people who are conscious. We don't talk to people who are unconscious or asleep. Mm-hmm. And we have to go ahead and do that.
Yes.
Because that's the only way we're really going to go ahead and make progress now. And the irony, of course, is that while all of this technology has come into play, that technology has not served to unify us more. It's actually served to actually separate us more,
mm-hmm.
to create more disunity,
yeah,
as opposed to creating unity.
I say. Well, we're going to.
You know what? There is a new curriculum that, I don't know if you're aware of, it's called the 365 African History Curriculum. That's going across the country right now. And I heard about it on Sirius XM. The person that was putting it together, working with another brother that I guess was a professor, is doing an incredible job getting this across the country despite the CRT.
This is something that I ran into a few years ago, actually, in terms of 365 curriculum. But let me just talk about New York for a minute. If we talk about curriculum in public schools in New York, that in 2024, we're no better in terms of most curricula than we were in 1968. In 1968, we had a major struggle in regards to the question of community control
mm-hmm.
of the schools.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That was a struggle that actually resonated around the country.
Mm-hmm.
Subsequently, what happened, one of the reasons that the East and Uhura Sasa School came about is because people like Baba Jitu, Herman Ferguson, Ilua Ferguson, were directly involved in those particular struggles. And of course, a number of young people. We had the African-American Teachers Association, the African-American Students Association. When it was very clear that there was not going to be any opportunity for community control, that these young people and some folks a little bit older came out of the system to go ahead and say that we needed independent education. We needed our own institutions. And that was essentially the genesis of the East and Uhura Sasa, which was the largest Black independent school in the country. Okay? Now, as we move forward with all the various kinds of contradictions that have taken place, you know, we see that we haven't made a whole bunch of progress in regards to the question of curriculum. Whether, you know, we look at the evil people like Ron DeSantis down in Florida, you know, who have gone ahead and, you know, essentially made teaching certain kinds of things illegal, or whether in a city like New York, what happened is we have gone and places like Chicago, Baltimore, a number of other Black cities, that they've gone from community control to some form of central control, whether it is the state or the mayor. There is
generally one individual or one institution outside of the community who's in charge of the education that takes place there. Mm-hmm. All right? In Newark, you know, where we have Ras Baraka as the mayor, the son of Amiri Baraka. For years, the Newark school system was under the control of the New Jersey Department of Education. They did not have local control. In New York, for the last over 25 years now, we've had mayoral control, which has literally been a disaster. You know, we have gone from bad to worse. We have gone from the billionaire Michael Bloomberg, you know, a Zionist racist, to now we have Mayor Eric Adams, who unfortunately is just corrupt and attempting to try to be almost as Republican as he possibly can, hoping that he can get a pardon
right.
from Donald Trump
yep.
as he goes through his federal trial. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're in a bad place in terms of the question of education. And the only thing that's going to go ahead and save us and make things like the 365 curriculum possible to be in the schools is if we go ahead and take back control and bring the community into these important institutions that are in our community.
Well, you know, the European Jews, my daughter, I'm in Milwaukee, my daughter went, there was a program called the Chapter 220 program because the public school system is so whack. I mean, clearly. So they offered students out of the Milwaukee public schools to go into these suburban schools, you know. And, of course, money followed them. These suburban mm-hmm. schools are not taking these kids out of, you know, out of goodwill or, you know, or improvement. They money better follow them. So they went mm-hmm. into these schools, and she went to a school that was that had a predominance of European Jews, you know. And they didn't leave. I want you to teach me math, science, and so forth, but my history and what it means to be a European Jew, we'll get that at the center or at the synagogue or someplace outside of that. And I'm saying that to say the same thing should have happened with us. You know, we'll get all those things, but the culture and the history of our people and how we band together and close ranks and pull resources, that needs to happen outside of that public school system, parochial school system. Hell, even, you know, if it's not true African-centered like we have Brother Baba Rudy, his school here, Akabin Institute, which is totally African-centered, they accept no money, accept nothing from this system. So they don't have to adhere to anybody but our brothers and sisters whose children they send to that school. So true independent education is what is necessary. You know, I don't expect that these schools are going to, and it's like they say, if they don't treat you right, how will you expect them to teach you right? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We're going to take a break, okay? And when we come back from the break, we're going to further this discussion and open the lines up for brothers. There's a number of people who want to get in on this conversation about the importance of Kwanzaa, the celebration of Kwanzaa, and how instilling Kwanzaa into our everyday lives will make the kind of necessary changes that we need that are so vital for our existence. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Hold on, we'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
The joy as we sing of the love togetherness can surely bring
emotion.
Set the table at a straw, thankful for the first fruits of the year. Stay a light a candle just for you. Come join the party, it's a celebration. Karamu at Kwanzaa time of year. Let it go, no black or white. Your look, it's alright. It's a celebration that should last throughout the year.
Happy Kwanzaa.
All right.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Together there is so much we can do.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa. Celebration. Remembering times of old, tradition is the food that fills our souls. Yes, it does. Still, the children are the future of all our hopes and dreams. Let's teach them well. Let's teach them well. Come join the party. It's a celebration. Karamu at Kwanzaa time of the year. Red and yellow, black or white. Yellow, it's all right. It's a celebration that will last throughout the year.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa. All right.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa. Everybody.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Together there is so much we can do.
Happy, 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 happy Kwanzaa.
So many ways to show I love you.
See, I have faith in all that we do.
But we gotta stay together.
Just a few of the principles that help us.
Starts at 8, that's when we get praise to the man upstairs for another blessed day. I give hugs to my moms, my dad, and my sis. You smell that? I want to see what moms cook.
While we drink from the cup of togetherness, it's that part of the year that you don't want to miss. I give a gift from the heart so you know it's true. So recite a principle and tell me what it means to you.
You are listening to Time For an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and Black Talk BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. Teddy Pendergrass, Happy Kwanzaa. I was going to play Kwame Cobb and Chavin Duga out of Chicago and the Seven Principles. And Teddy Pendergrass piece, that piece, and all those you can get off of YouTube. If you can't get it, I mean, you probably can buy it, you know, Amazon and stuff like that if that's what you want to do. But you can get them off YouTube. And that piece, Seven Principles, there's a song for each day, which is dynamic there, very good. Yeah, we're going to talk about some Kwanzaa that are happening in your area. I would love to have a list of Kwanzas that are going on. I know we have here in Milwaukee, you have from the 26th, 27th, 29th, 30th, and 31st, and the first Kwanzaa. In fact, they even had a day already on the 14th of December, Zawadi, gifts were handed out to the children at the Wisconsin Black Historical Society. On the 26th of the Wisconsin Black Historical Society, you know, they have had opening of Kwanzaa for many years, family. Yeah. In fact, I can remember even when he didn't have, because it was an old theater, you know, and he had to level the floor off, you know, and that kind of thing. But we had Kwanzaa. And Sister Soldier was there, yeah. So that's Umoja. He opens up every year at the Wisconsin Black Historical Society. And then on the 27th, Kujichaga Leah, they're having a production on 33rd and Fond du Lac. That's at the Phoenix. Yeah, Monkey Phoenix. And then on the 29th, Ujamaa Market at the America's Black Holocaust Museum. We're going to have a Ujamaa Market, and that's from 12 to 5 on 4th and North Avenue. Actually, that's not 4th and North Avenue. That's Val Phillips. Val Phillips was a sister, very dynamic sister, in a city in the state of Wisconsin, the city of Milwaukee. And that street, 4th Street, has been named in her honor. Yep. Yeah, I don't know why they still have 4th and North Avenue. But on the 30th, NEA, the Center for Leadership of African American Women's Wellness, on 10th and McKinley Street. And then on the 31st, Kumba, the Fruition, 825 North 27th Street, they're having Kumba from 2 p.m. To 3 p.m. No, excuse me. From 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., excuse me. And then on the 1st, January 1st, Imani Faith is the closing ceremony. The Kamaru Ye Imani, where it has been for many years now at the Wisconsin African-American Women's Center on 30th and Philippe. So those are the Kwanzaas that are happening in the Milwaukee area. And the Kwanzaas that are happening here in the Atlanta area, the New Black Wall Street will have Kwanzaas on the 26th through the 29th from 1 to 6 at the New Black Wall Street, which is located east of Atlanta. Just take I-20, go east if you're in Atlanta. Go east, exit 75, Turner Hill Road, make a right, three lights, make another right, and on the left will be the New Black Wall Street Market. The 26th is a Umoja celebration at the Exchange. That's Brother Kenneth Zaki, and that's from 3 to 7, African drumming, children's activities, and marketplace and performances, the lighting of the candles, all the good things, the Kwanzaa refreshments. And then on the 27th, Kujichaga Leah at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. It's hosted by Brother Kenneth Zaki, and they have a special speaker, Dr. Daniel Black, author, professor, and historian, drumming and all kind of good stuff, vendors, everything. And that's from 5 to 9 at the Shrine of the Black Madonna in the West End. I don't know if they're by the Abernathy. Then on the 27th, Kwanzaa, Kujichaga Leah, and that's going to be presented by the Atlanta Pan-African Coalition. That's WADU. That's UNIA, that's ASCAC, and many others at the Griot Museum. from 5 to 8 on the 27th. Then on the 28th, First African Church, Jima, First African Church. And that's going to be from 5 to 6. And then here's some more things that are happening. First African Ujamaa celebration at the First African Church from 5 to 9. And then on the 28th also, is a celebration of culture, Joyous Kwanzaa, from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at the Unitarian Church of Metro Atlanta. Okay? And then on the 29th, Global Faith Ministries presents, and it's a spiritual harvest and Kwanzaa celebration. And bring a photo of an ancestor to put on a shrine. Actually, that's on the 29th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. The 31st, African at the Apex, hosted by Griot Kenneth Zaki again. And that's at the Shrine of the Black Madonna, the Apex Museum. And 135. So those are the events that are going to be happening for Kwanzaa here in the Atlanta area. What's happening in the New York area, Brother Bashir, in Chami?
Well, brother, I got to tell you, I've been so busy, I haven't even gone ahead and found out everything. I'll have to do so between now and Thursday.
That's right. When you're broadcast, you're broadcasting Thursday, correct? So tell us about the radio program,
because I plan.
All right, I plan to be on there. Yes,
sir.
Yeah. And what time is that?
It's 8 p.m.
8 p.m. to 8 p.m. to 10 p.m.?
8 to 9. 1 hour.
Oh, just 1 hour. 1 hour. Okay. We got to get it in then. You got to better be on time. Yes, sir. Okay. But, yeah, the thing is about Kwanzaa, and I know, I'm quite sure, in other parts of the country, I know Brother, excuse me, I'm sorry. Brother Lusk, Theodore Lusk, out of Montgomery, Alabama, he was telling me about a Kwanzaa that is going to be happening. Brother Mickey Dean, who will be my guest Wednesday, with the National Black United Front, one of the strongest chapters in the National Black United Front, which is an organization that Brother G2 Wausi helped find. Another thing, G2 Wausi was a dynamic man. He'll found the National Black United. That's how I met Brother G2, through the National Black United Front and many other brothers and sisters across the country. So he's going to be my guest on Wednesday. And we'll talk about the Kwanzaas that are happening in Kansas City and among other things that are going on. But, Kwanzaa is it promotes family. It promotes unity. It promotes, supporting all those institutions that will help us get out of this madness that we're in. That's what I'm saying. It's not just, December 26th to January 1st, and then once that's over, you kick it to the curb. It is something that we need to instill into our everyday lives. It will make us a better people, no doubt. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, brother, let me say that this year there have been a number of Kwanzaa events that have taken place prior to the actual Kwanzaa. For instance, this weekend, the Apollo had their normal Kwanzaa event, which normally takes place during Kwanzaa.
Okay.
But this year, for some reason, probably an issue in terms of scheduling, it took place this weekend. Also, earlier in the week, we had a community organization in the Bronx, Mind Builders Creative Arts Center, which had their annual Kwanzaa event where young people go ahead and show off all of their skills.
Beautiful.
Mind Builders is an organization in the North Bronx that services about 1,000 young people every year in dance, drama, and music.
Ashe, beautiful.
They come together every year and do their Kwanzaa event, and parents and community come out.
Mm-hmm. Ashe. Brothers and sisters, let's celebrate it. Let's celebrate ourselves. Let's celebrate one another. Let's give thanks. Yeah. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, you can join this conversation. You can dial 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I see a number of you in the queue. You hit star twice. I'll let you in. We got Mama Nabantu, who was in North California at the time that Kwanzaa was being created, and talk with Mama Nakena, who helped spread Kwanzaa, you know, throughout the.
It's Makenya.
Mama Nakena. Mama.
Makenya.
Mama Makenya. I apologize. Mama Makenya.
No problem.
And I seen a picture of it because, you know, Akina, you know, she used to come on the program and talk about her, you know, and I seen a picture of her and the things that she did and information. So she was a dynamic woman, you know, no doubt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just want to also let you know that we have a pre-Kwanzaa event on the 25th in the evening, the countdown to Kwanzaa that DJ Sunyata does every year. Everybody brings a picture of their ancestors, so it's also about a tribute to our ancestors as well. But that happens on the 25th, you know, in the evening up until midnight hits, and we say Kwanzaa is here. Start cleaning up Kwanzaa.
Now, when is where is this?
It's at the I'll send you the flyers.
Okay.
989. It's on Ralph David Abernathy, right down from the shrine.
Okay.
It's the little event center there. I think there's a number to it. It's,
okay.
I don't know. Yeah, right, I have to send it to you. But
it's right down the street from me. Okay. Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. All right, dear brothers and sisters, I see them of you in the queue. Let me see what happened with Brother Irv. Brother Irv, good afternoon. How you doing, man?
Good morning, Baba Oshi. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well.
Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Kwanzaa.
That's right, brother. Yes, sir. Yeah.
I'm listening to the conversation.
Baba Oshi,
as usual, always good information. I'm amazed at the things that I'm learning because, Baba Oshi, you know, as I know, I didn't learn this in school. I had no idea. I was grown in the 60s. Well,
yeah.
Almost grown. I was old enough to understand things, but I didn't. These are the things that get away from us as American Africans.
Mm-hmm.
And our generation, of all generations, should know these things to pass them on to the children. And I think Kwanzaa is about legacy. It's a lifestyle. It's more than a holiday to me, just how I perceive it. It's the way you live. It's the way you think. If you think African, you are African, you should think African, I think. It's just something that I think. So anyway, Baba Oshi, this is fantastic, brother.
Right
thank
on.
You so much. And thank you to your guests.
Thank you, my brother. All right. Brother Irv, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brother Irv's out there. In fact, you know, brother, you can go to the US organization. I'm quite sure they're having a good Kwanzaa. That's where Milana Karinga is, the US organization. Good afternoon. Hey, Brother Jay, how you doing? Jay, you there? Okay. We'll catch up with him. All right. And a few other calls. You know what to do. Hit star twice. You'll get in on the call and get on the conversation. Hey, Brother Jay, what's happening?
Sorry about that. Hey, listen. Are you going to be on Wednesday?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be on Wednesday.
Okay, because I didn't know if you was celebrating Christmas, you know, Exodus or whatever the hell they call it. You know what I mean?
Hey.
But listen.
I'm always, if there's a holiday, European holiday, and if it falls on my day, I'm on. Okay? Because a lot of times I go on and I talk about the fallacy of that holiday. Okay? The hypocriticalness of it.
Yeah, well, listen, I just wanted to say something right quick about the gangsterism of America. Did you hear that we are now going to reclaim the Panama Canal?
Yeah, I did. I heard that.
Yeah, I heard about it.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I think that's about as gangster as one could get. to make that sort of demand, because if I'm not mistaken, Jimmy Carter gave the Panama people back the Panama Canal, and now here it is.
Well, that was
gangster guard taken from them.
Right.
Because
see, that was,
they saying the fees are too high.
That was an agreement. That was an agreement that the canal, that's there. That's Panama. The United States helped build that so they could get stuff from the Atlantic into the Pacific in a short way, as opposed to going all around it. So, but that was an agreement, you know. So I don't know him talking about all this gangster. You know, he's foolish. You know, I'm gonna come back and take it. That's the arrogance.
This.
That's the arrogance.
This is what
of this
I
man.
Would do. Right. This is what I would do. If I was the Panama people, I would just booby trap the whole canal. And if you tried to take it from us,
yeah,
or charge us, or do anything,
I just blow
the shit up, yep, and destroy the whole economics of the world.
Yeah.
If he gonna do that type of gangsterism, if you gonna come in here and jack me and take mine and all of that and bully me, then I'm gonna show you where the real gangster is. We not gonna let you do another Noriega on us.
Yeah,
you know. So I'm hoping they got that type of will and determination, because this is madness.
Yeah, well,
you don't have
the right to deal
with a sovereign country like that.
Hey, listen, you not know this man is full of.
I know, exactly.
Bro. So anyway, all right.
Listen, I just wanted to say that to you right quick. And as far as Kwanzaa go, listen, man, all I can say is this. I was part of the heyday of Kwanzaa, when it was really, really on and popping, man. And Kwanzaa celebrations are a little different now than they were before, because they're not as cultural as they was. But listen, man, put me on mute,
okay,
and
bro,
I'll catch up with you definitely on Christmas Day,
all right,
whatever
man.
Hell that day is.
All right,
my
brother.
Peace.
Yeah.
Just very quickly, there's a good movie called The Panama Deception, which talks about the capture of Noriega. But along with that, it was the actual murder of thousands of Panamanian civilians,
mm-hmm,
which nobody really talks about.
Right.
So, you know, in terms of any kind of threats, you know, it's quite interesting, because, you know, we have these, you know, well-armed, well-trained armies attempting to try to go ahead and extract you know, all different kinds of things out of countries, and sometimes not even countries, like in Palestine. You know, mm-hmm, Palestine, the Palestinians have no army, no navy, no air force, and people talk about there's a war between Israel and the Palestinians.
It was a mass murder.
Yeah, how is that possible? How is that possible?
They have nothing. It's mass murder,
yeah,
man.
When you have a war,
genocide,
it's a war between two armies.
Right, right, exactly. Exactly.
No war.
This is genocide in real time, right before your eyes.
Mm-hmm. No question.
Is, you know, and the people there have no legitimate right to be there. They have no right to that land. You know, when you talked about the Ethiopians, those are the Fausa,
mm-hmm,
those are the Fausa Jews. Those are the original Jews. Then there's the Sephardic Jews, and the last Jews of conversion are the Ashkenazi. That's them. They some European Jews who, you know, who accepted Judaism. What about 2010 or something like? Not 20.
After 1492, most of that.
Yeah.
Because what happened is, the Jewish community, interestingly enough, had a heyday when the Moors controlled Spain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was one of the most productive periods for Hebrew art,
mm-hmm,
culture, literature. Then in 1492, when the Moors were defeated, the Jews were expelled. They had two options.
That's right.
Either they had to convert
to Christianity,
mm-hmm, or they had to go. Some went back to North Africa, but others decided to go east, further into Europe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, that's what's happening. That's happening in front of our face in real time. You know, And then you talk about what Ron DeSantis did and the banning of books and not to talk about critical race theory, not to talk about diversity, ethnicity, and inclusion and all that stuff. Talk about none of that. You know, either you just accept what we bring you. You accept what we do. If not, you know, in fact, I was talking to a young brother talking about he wants to go to Africa, you know, and I said, well, you know, some countries do offer dual citizenship. But then he said, I'm not going to go, and I wouldn't take dual citizenship because they're talking about when Trump comes in, either you are an American or you ain't. So if you're talking about, because a lot of people are talking about leaving. There's some people who have left and seeking dual citizenship so they can come back and forth and so forth, you know. And what they're saying, and I haven't seen this. I don't know how true it is. I don't believe it is because I don't think you can do it. But that if you take citizenship from another country, that will nullify your citizenship here, you know.
And we know that's not true, brother.
Exactly.
Because once again, Israel is the example.
Exactly.
You're not supposed to, even if you accept citizenship in another country, you're not supposed to serve in the military
of another country.
But of course,
they do.
Not only do they do, but we have people who are citizens of the United States who have been killed in combat in Israel. Mm-hmm. As members of the Israeli Defense Force.
Yeah. Because, you know, the European Jew, in connection with the Western societies when they did the Balfour Declarations and co-opting with England and France, all of that bull, you know, they're a special situation. In fact, you know, there's a brother named Ayo Kamathi who's been on our program, and he was also him in a presentation just a few weeks ago. He wrote two books, Jews Are the Problem, and the second book of Jews Are the Problem is The Psychology of the Jew, you know, the European Jew. And very well researched, and it's deep because they dominated and control as a group of people who have a small number. They dominated and control seriously. I mean, everything. I mean, you look at the United States government. They're all up in the United States government and in influential and leadership positions, you know. So,
even when they're not, brother, you know, due to organizations like AIPAC and others, even if they're not directly in those positions, they have folks who will do whatever they say in there, in those positions.
Exactly.
You know, whether it's Hakeem Jeffries, or, you know, Mayor Eric Adams, all we have photos of them with Benjamin Netanyahu, the war criminal. You know, this is something that happened.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. I was reading a new biography of Franz Fanon, and in that there was a footnote, and also it talked about two authors, Aimé Césaire, who is one of the fathers of the Negritude movement, a movement that was throughout the Caribbean and Africa, which talked about Africanness, especially in regards to culture and literature, and then also W.E.B. Du Bois. And both of them said, to paraphrase, the problem that Europeans had with Hitler is that he did to white people what Europeans had been doing to Africans and people of color for generations.
Right.
And that's what actually is behind so many of the things that are literally happening now. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of the guilt that Europeans have in regards to how could this happen to other Europeans in terms of the so-called Holocaust. How could this happen? How could millions of Europeans be murdered by other Europeans?
Well, you know, the reality is that there's no more violent prone individuals or persons or group than Europeans. They're the most violent people. Europeans, Caucasians, Yorugu, white people are the most violent people on the planet. their evolutionary development spoke of violence because of how they evolved, you know, and being in those caves and in that environment. It made you harsh, it made you selfish, it made you greedy, it made you, you know, and that's still today. They're less than 10% of the world's population, but want to dominate and control damn near 80 to 85, 90% of the world's resources and taking people's land. They never came anywhere to barter, to trade, to none of that. They came to take. They came to take it. They didn't give a damn, you know, what happens to you. They're the only ones who have exercised. Now, rescue me if I'm wrong. They're the only people who have exercised real, true genocide on different groups. The Taino people in what is now Haiti and the Dominican Republic. All those people were wiped out. And they shipped in, the Spanish and so forth, shipped in the Africans. And, of course, the Africans and the island of Haiti in itself was probably the jewel of the of all the other islands in terms of resource. And they worked us to death, you know. And then in 1804, when Dessalines and all those came up in Bukman, you know, and threw off the yoke, what happened? Spain, United States, and Britain, along with France, came and took it back. And they took back at least the eastern portion, the Dominican Republic. That's why I can't stand the Dominican Republic, because those people have such an adversity to the Haitians, and there's no more color-struck people. There's a lot of color-struck people, let's be real. In fact, in that sense, Brother Bashir, when you look at the world with these Europeans, knowing that, you know, and the pandemic 5 years ago played that out, because there's more people dying. Their population is so old, they have been experiencing negative population growth for the last decade or so. So every two that die, only one is born. So their population is going down. So what is happening? They're mating. Now you see it on TV all the time. You should never see no damn commercials with a black man and a white woman, or a white woman or a white man with a black woman. But you see it all the time. In fact, what bothered me just recently, Venus Williams. Now, she with a white man. And my girl, Quinta Brunson. Oh, that hurt me, man. I looked at a little piece on that because I like her. She's with a Caucasian, you know? And see, the offspring of that situation will side with being Caucasian. And that's what the Europeans' hope is, that they won't identify with their black side, even though the genes are dominant. Even though the genes are dominant, but they hope that they can start looking as white, just like they did in Venezuela, you know. They started whitening them up. White man would have a child with a sister, and that child could not. A lot of feedback. I'm sorry about that. Getting a lot of feedback, but that child could not mate with nobody but another Caucasian, and that child could not mate with nobody but a Caucasian, male or female, you know. And that's why, as opposed to Colombia, where there's a lot of Africans, and other parts of South America, particularly in Brazil, that Venezuela is not, that's not that. Anyway, let's talk about Kwanzaa. Hey,
Yeah. But listen, brother, before we do that, I just want to, and especially folks in the Atlanta area, Imam Jamil Al-Amin is experiencing a health crisis. And it's time for us to really go ahead and support him. So I'll send you some more information.
Okay, for sure.
You don't have the latest.
For sure. For you listening, family, that's H-Rap Brown, and he had a serious community here in the Atlanta area. Muslim community here in the Atlanta area. I know some people who are associated with his mosque and his leadership. Yeah, so, and of course he's going to be in prison the rest of his life. Let's hope that it's long. Yep. All right, Mama Nabanta, you got something?
Yeah, I just wanted to
I don't know if you announced that Irritated Genie will be at our Kwanzaa all week. He's going to have a booth there. And
okay.
Gonna, you know.
And when is his presentation?
I think it's Friday. I'll send you the flyer.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. The brother that was at the Black Dot Coffee Bar, Black Dot Culture Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, and did an outstanding presentation, the one I just mentioned with the Jews Are the Problem. He'll be at Kwanzaa here in Atlanta, and he'll be there all week.
Oh, I have it
go
right
ahead.
Here.
Sure, go ahead.
He'll be there Friday and Saturday.
Okay.
He's coming down. I forget what state he's coming from.
He's coming from – okay, well, he's in D.C., but he might not be coming from D.C., but he's in D.C.
Yeah, he's coming from D.C.
Okay.
So he's going to have three workshops on Friday and Saturday. He's going to have a booth set up on both of those days. So
– all right.
Yeah.
So, Brother Ayo, come on. The Irritated Genie. The Irritated
right,
Genie.
Or, yeah, his other name is Ayo Kamathi.
Mm-hmm. All right. Brother Irv, you got something?
Yeah, real quickly, Baba Ocean, mean to cut in, but Brother H. Raph Brown, brother that's having some health challenges right now, is his what is his Islamic name again?
Jamil El-Amin.
The brother.
Sorry, go ahead, Brother Bashir. Go ahead.
I've followed that brother for years because I'm from Maryland. Actually, and they called Cambridge, Maryland, the town that H. Raph Brown burned down. He was very powerful in the revolutionary movement, from what I've read, and that brother needs to be lifted up because he sacrificed a lot for what he believed, and I believe that in him, and you know, of course, the movement got corrupted, and of course, everything white folks put their hand in, they're going to try to mess it up. Brother Oshi, Kwanzaa tells you to it promotes peace within you, and by doing that, it tells you how to do that, and that's what I like about Kwanzaa. It's instructional, but when you come with this European Christmas thing, it just says peace all over the world, and that's pretty much it. We're just gonna be peaceful, and at the same time, imperialism. That they're promoting is trying to take all the resources from everyone that they meet. And of course, anywhere that Irugu goes is going to be confusion because Irugu lives in confusion. Kwanzaa gives you peace. And I love Kwanzaa, man. I'm telling you, it's interesting how it's so spiritual. It's super spiritual. You not only get into it, it gets into you, if that makes any sense to the African mind. And I love that part because Africans live with the universe and not fight against it. So, but I didn't want to leave Kwanzaa, and I could speak on foolishness that Donald Trump's going to do forever because we as a people have to realize that we have to stop saying I can't believe they're doing this. We can believe we believe you, Irugu. We 400 years we believe you. 400 years I understand you are. Confused, you are Satan, you are demonic, and you want to control everything you see because your life works off of profit and greed. I understand that's the only thing that Irugu sees is profit and greed.
Yep.
So no, Baba Oshi, Kwanzaa gives me peace of mind, it gives me direction, and it gives me a legacy to leave to my children that they can build on.
Right on.
And that's what this is about.
I say.
Brother Oshi, I made a mistake and gave you the wrong information. Do you please allow me to give the correct information?
Please do, always. Okay. If there's corrections necessary, we got to have them. All right, my sister, go ahead.
Okay, the information I gave you about those workshops is actually coming from Asar Set. They're coming down here, and the workshops will be on how to meditate in 60 minutes, Qigong healing, and a celebrating your growth and achievement using astrological cycles. That will be on Friday.
Okay.
Irritated Genie will be here Sunday at 4:30.
Okay, next week Sunday. Okay.
But he's the one, he will be there. He didn't leave. Remember when he was at Black Dot, he said he's going to stay until Sunday, which this coming Sunday.
Okay.
So that's when he's going to be speaking from at 4:30 on the 29th on Sunday.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mama Nabantu. Brother Bashir, we only got 10 minutes or a little less or whatever. Go ahead, my brother.
Sir.
Yeah.
My brother, listen. Now, it's always good to be with you. I mean, to talk about Kwanzaa as we go ahead and, you know, get into the season. And, of course, you know, I'd like to say Asante Sana to you because, brother, you know, we've been doing this now for a few years.
Yes, sir.
As you said earlier.
Sir.
And it's always a pleasure to be with you and talk to your audience, you know, which, you know, through internet radio is a national and international audience.
Yeah,
for that matter.
Yeah. I do have some callers. Brother Paul, he's in the U.K., a sister in the Caribbean, and a sister in Botswana, you know, who would listen to the program, and others. You know, I'm not sure of all the listeners. I'm not keeping track of that, because the bottom line to me is, even if one person was listening, I'm dedicated. I'm committed. I'll be here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and you adjust the time for it to where you are. I'll try my best to be on this program and to give the African perspective. You know, my dedication and commitment is to help, you know. In fact, I'll give my closing, as I always do, about what this program is about and why I've been doing this for over 10 years now, you know. So, but, yeah, you know, one thing I would love to see if we could organize the 60th year of Kwanzaa and have a major discussion on where Kwanzaa's at and how we can make it really, you know, something that we can incorporate into our everyday lives to change ourselves and change how we look at each other, you know, because something needs to happen, you know. Something definitely needs to happen. I know that for some of us, and it's definitely me, I want to get out of here, you know. I'm getting my grandson through high school, and once that happens, getting through college, and I'm, you know, and you can do that now because you can communicate a lot better. It's not like you went to Africa and you got cut off. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can do that now. So, but
yeah.
I mean,
brother, you saw where there was a ceremony where over 500 people.
Yeah.
Were given citizenship
right,
in
Ghana. Yes, in Ghana. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, things are loosening up a little bit. You know, hopefully they'll loosen up more. And, you know, we can bring, you know, some positivity and, you know, some advancement as we, you know, attempt to try to, you know, literally become part of the Ghanaian populace, you know, and that's an issue sometimes because, you know, there's sometimes issues between indigenous Ghanaians and folks from the diaspora in terms of attitude,
exactly, because
resources and other kinds of things. Yeah. So we have to be conscious of that also.
Yeah, because I remember I was in Africa when they had what was that organization? And they were working with the Ghanaian government, and they were giving some land out. And there was a group that had an issue with that. And the sister who had the land, they wound up killing her. You know? Yeah, sad, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it must be legitimate. It must be something that is reciprocal. Because unlike us coming to Liberia, 100 some years ago with the attitude like, oh, we're better because we've been exposed to these crackers all this time, you know. But then the Africans thought, well, no, we're better because we weren't enslaved even though we were colonized all this time. Instead, as opposed to saying, hey, y'all, let's come together. Let's work together. You know, in fact, I don't know, from what I heard, that mindset is still happening in Liberia today.
Man. Well, you know, there's an attempt by the UNIA to begin to do some things with Liberia. They've been going back and forth now for a few years, and I think there's going to be an attempt to try to bridge some of that historical gap.
Yes, I hope so, and I hope it really, really works, because, and I hope that both sides are amenable to making it work, dedicated to making it work, you know. And that's the thing. You know, what is our commitment to make it really happen? What is our commitment to the Kwanzaa principles? I would do a thing about Kwanzaa every year, and talking about, you know, putting them into our everyday lives and how it should be structured, you know. And I came up with this because I used to work on my – I was a firefighter for over 31 years. And on my off days, I would go – I'm not very mechanical. I can't fix shit, you know. But I can run my mouth. So I went to schools on my off days and worked with kids, particularly brothers and sisters who, you know, weren't doing as well as they should, to try to put something on their minds, to inform them, to let them know what they're up against, you know. In fact, I used to tell them, I'm going to show you and teach you things in this class that you would not get in this school, you know, information about yourself, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, and talking to them about Kwanzaa, bringing the Kwanzaa kid in, explaining the Kanara, the Mamshuma Saba, the Kukumbe Yayamoja cup, and all of them, and Soho, all of that stuff, you know. But I told them that Kwanzaa is something that should be put into your everyday lives. And how can we do that? You know, I talked about the number 13. You know, we just had a Friday the 13th this month, because any month that has this the first date on Sunday, that the following Friday will be Friday the 13th. And explaining that in this society, they want you to believe that Friday the 13th is evil. You know, there's all kind of movies and stuff like that. The number 13, trustadicophobia, is a fear of the number 13, you know. But I said, you know, what the thing was, the number 13 is a good number, because the number 13 is the number of transformation. 12 completes the cycle. 13 begins anew. You know, the zodiac has 12 signs, plus the sun. The so-called Jesus had 12 disciples, plus Jesus. The mythical knights of the King Arthur, 12 members at the round table, plus King Arthur. So you see this number is repeated 13 times, you know, on a dollar bill, on the back of the dollar bill, number 13. So it's a number of transformation. So how can we put the Kwanzaa into our everyday lives? And I said that first you take the seven principles: Umoja, unity; Kujichagulia, self-determination; Ujima, collective working responsibility; Ujamaa, cooperative economics; Nia, purpose; Kumba, creativity; and Imani, faith. You have seven principles. Hold the seven. Add to them the five C's. The first C, consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are culturally, who you are historically. But once you have consciousness, you develop courage. You know, you feel good about yourself. You have courage. And when you have courage, you also have confidence. You have confidence. You know you can pass the test. You know you can get the job. You know you can do this. You have confidence in your abilities. And confidence in others. And then the fourth C, conscience. Conscience, knowing what is morally right and wrong, and always doing what's right. Doing what's right when no one is looking. Doing what's right. And then the last C, conviction. You know, no matter what roadblocks, detours, and pitfalls in your path, you will overcome it because you have a conviction. No, you didn't graduate this year because of certain circumstances in your family, but you overcame that, and now you're graduating this year. Because why? Because you have conviction. So the seven principles plus the five C's, 7 + 5 = 12, plus you, 13. You know? Yeah. Put the number 13 into our daily lives using Kwanzaa principles and the five C's. My brother, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I look forward to our conversation. Send me the information. You can text it to me, and I'll definitely I'll definitely be on the call. I look forward to it. I look forward to our conversations each year, man. We got to get you on here more often, man.
Hey, brother.
Yeah.
I'm around.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do that. Okay?
Bashir. All right, brother.
Bashir and Chavi, thank you so much. All right. All right. Abargana.
Sante Sana.
All right. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the Oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahadier means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day, family. See you on Wednesday. All right. Peace.
Great show.